She's back, but she's basically dead.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of
gay. I cannot.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0 and LGBT podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Today, we're going to welcome back Dr. Evan Goldstein of Bespoke Surgical. For this month's Tales from the Tale, this month's topic is coping literally with losing one's whole. We'll have more on that on the second half of the show. And because he enjoyed himself last time so much, we are also joined once again by tonight's guest host, Dante Gennaro, who's in studio with us. He's going to join us for The Dish and so much more. And of course, my name is Tom and I'm your host. And as always, I'm here with my two bitches, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
good to be back with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to The Dish. That was a little on the light side.
I think you need to like...
This seems very loud. Is mine very loud?
No, it's your voice.
Oh. Well, I still got that.
It's that better?
I don't know.
I think it is. Okay. Anyway, so welcome back.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
It's good to have you back.
Yeah, it's been so long.
I know. You were gone for like two weeks.
Mm-hmm. I had to make up some piano classes.
Yeah.
Shit's coming along. Making Moonlight Sonata my bitch. But,
Anyway, and of course, Dante, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's happy to be back.
So you enjoyed yourself so much last time that you're here again.
Yeah, you guys left quite an impression on me.
That's awesome. And you're sitting here on this chair, on that mic, in front of a bucket full of Halloween candy.
I love how you pull me out.
I love it.
Off the Whoppers. Save me some of them.
So he's like, I'm just going to bring this bucket downstairs, and I'm going to set it in front of me and just go to town. And I love it. Yes. So you are a Halloween baby, right?
I am a Halloween baby. I just turned 33.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
First and foremost.
She looks good for 33.
Mm-hmm.
And this is your
take
gift.
Take notes, Trish.
Courtesy of K-Talk.
Bitch, I don't need to take notes.
I'm back.
I got this. Thank you.
So as you know, this is probably going to be a very different episode compared to what we did when you were on the show. Obviously, we were doing some business and it was serious matters. And of course, most of the things that we do on the show is serious. But today is a little bit more of a relaxed episode. As we all know, Dr. G is very linguistically appealing. I'm using words. And, you know, so he likes
you. You taught her things while I was gone, Trish. Proud of you. We'll work on math next.
Oh, Lord.
One thing at a time.
Are we recording?
We'll work on that, too.
Yes, we are. Now, the intern has got it today. She's on point. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about a lot of things. We've got a couple of stories that we've got lined up for you guys for the first half of the show. But as always, we can kick it off with weekends. So because you were gone for 2 weeks, I would like for you to tell us what you did this weekend. Chris.
I died this weekend. My weekend consisted of copious amounts of sweat, high fevers, vomits, and just a little bit of pneumonia.
Just a little bit?
A lot of bit of pneumonia.
Yeah. She's no longer contagious, which is why she was allowed to come to the studio.
I thought I had the flu. Tuesday night, I was fine. A friend got a little sick, not this kind of sick. So we brought a friend to the hospital. I left at 4 a.m. Everything felt fine. I woke up like 5 hours later, feeling like absolute death. Absolute death. And I had to drive a friend 40 minutes back to their house and then 40 more minutes back to my house where I was dying the entire drive. And then Thursday morning, I woke up and I was like, I gotta go to the hospital. I really thought I had the flu. Like, touching my skin hurt. And I was like, oh shit, that's the flu. So have you ever had a rapid flu test before?
No.
It is the weirdest. Have you ever had one?
No.
Okay, the nurse comes in, and the first thing he said was, all right, so you're going to hate me. And I was like, okay, that's a great start. Right. The rapid flu test, it's a very long swab that goes in your nose.
Ew.
And when he says, you're going to feel like I'm pushing from the inside of your eyeball, he leans your head back and goes, pop, and just jams this. I felt air come out of my ear.
Oh.
It was the weirdest, absolute weirdest feeling. And then, because I was having all the muscle aches and body aches, like what comes along with the flu, they injected me with Motrin. And that hurt like a motherfucker, too. Right. Like, the needle was nothing, but then he pushes it in, and it's just like fire sitting in your freaking arm. I was happy when he said, I have to get to your deltoid. I was like, I took bio. I know where that is. And I rolled my sleeve up. But yeah, turned out I didn't have the flu, but I have some pneumonia that they saw when they gave me some chest x-rays.
Why are you so broken, like,
I
all the time?
I don't fucking know. And then my neck was acting up again because you have to sleep sitting up and everything. So, yeah. Just, you know, it hasn't been fun. It hasn't been too fun.
It was an amazing weekend. It sounds like that was like a normal weekend for you.
Well, you know, pretty much. Pretty much. No, yeah, it was just me on the couch with a lot of war movies. That was my weekend.
That is too funny. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So, Trish, what did you do this weekend?
I worked. I worked.
Story of our lives. We were, you know what? We worked together on Saturday. Well, you were upstairs. Uh-huh. I was downstairs. And honestly, if I spoke to you like for like 5 minutes, that was a lot.
Yeah. No, it was really busy, but like, I feel like I didn't make any money. I'm confused, but yeah, no, not fun weekend. Just worked.
Hmm.
I'm trying to think. What did I do? Was there anything fun? I don't think so. No. Oh, Schitt's Creek. I finished that. It was great.
Fascinating.
Did you cry?
Yeah.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
I missed so much.
Apparently. And I started the new Queer Eye, which is amazing.
Which, by the way, I think Mama Kim sent us a message, an email saying that she also saw the new Queer Eye, and she was feeling some kind of way.
Yeah. And I cleaned my house. That's about it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Productive. Not too bad.
Yeah.
I ended up, Mom moved up from Florida. She decided that she no longer wants to be in Florida, so she just literally packed a truck and drove up. She left Thursday. They arrived Saturday at 4 o'clock in the morning. And the whole way it's like calling me. Mind you, I had gotten up at 4:30 in the morning on Friday because I went to work at 6. And I didn't go to bed until 4:30 on Saturday morning. And it was nothing but calling. Okay, so we're arriving at this toll. Find out how much it is. So apparently a vehicle may be $5 or $6, but a truck has numerous axles.
Yeah, they charge by axle.
And so not only did the truck have its own axles, my brother was actually bringing his car on a dolly or something.
Not a dolly.
What is it? Help me out
what's
here.
What's the
word? Like a trailer?
Like
a trailer.
Yeah, no, not a dolly.
No, literally, it's just two wheels, and they put the front wheels on it, and then you just drag the car. Mm. And so that counted also as an axle. Mm-hmm. And so when they got to the Delaware Memorial Bridge, that toll was like $60.
Yeah, because it's like $18 to take a car across the GW.
Literally driving through Jersey, getting to like anywhere in Jersey is like $150.
Actually, when you go up the 95 in the Jersey, you don't pay a toll until you get to the George W. Bridge.
No, when you're on the Jersey Turnpike, you have to pay a lot of money.
Well, where else is Christie going to get the funding for all of his food?
That's true. I cannot.
She got to eat. Girl got to eat.
So anyway, when they got to the GWE, they ended up spending $96. And my mother was just
God.
Like, I am never doing this again. I'm like,
turn around. We're going back. Bully Yui.
I give you 2 months. Anyway, so she got here and she's here and she cooked and she's been in the house for a couple of days. So it smells delicious.
Is that why you have those like papayas or guabanas or whatever the fuck they are?
They are actually.
You're racist.
Guavas. Right?
No, they're not guavas. They are.
I'm not racist.
Kinda.
I'm trying to think of the name in Spanish.
They look like a big squash. They're like a gourd, but
massive,
they're fruit.
It's massive, but they're amazing and delicious. And yeah, there's like 6 of them sitting on my counter upstairs right now. And I'm just waiting for them to ripen up so I can just go to town. But anyway, Mom's here, my brother's here, and they're moving here. And I'm excited, you know, to have Mom close by for the holidays, which is good. I originally had a plan to go out down for Thanksgiving, but that's not happening anymore. So Thanksgiving's going to be local, which is good. Not in my house, but it's going to be local. And I think that's it. And then Sunday I worked karaoke. Today, Monday, I went to work at my real job. And here we are. It's Gay Talk, and we're just doing the show. So now to our guest, Mr. Dante.
So this past weekend, I got to spend some time with my family, but yeah, my birthday was actually the highlight, I think, over this past weekend. So I did something new. We tried axe throwing.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I had never done it before, but I had heard about it. And it was something that some friends of mine at work wanted to try. So
Chris is not allowed to try this.
I worked at a Boy Scout camp. I used to do that all the time.
I bet you'd be amazing. The people have some serious skill and they make it look so easy. And then you're like, oh, okay, I got this. And you like try going at it. One of my colleagues, unfortunately, didn't get any of them in the entire 10 frames that we had. But
sounds like most gay men in Connecticut, but go ahead.
No, let me tell you, I actually did us proud. I would say I did come in third out of six. But
nice.
I made it to the top three.
So proud of you.
It's your birthday, so you had to.
Yeah, and that's right? What I told them. You had to come at the end. No, well, I told them, and I was like, so because it's my birthday, I get a 10 extra points, so you all lose.
Mm-hmm. Automatically.
Well, that's a good way to look at it.
Yes. It was a lot of fun. We had a good time. I would definitely recommend it. So
did any of them bounce back?
None of mine, actually. I did a really, I'm telling you, I could be like, I don't know, a Viking or something in a previous life because I was throwing these things and they were really sticking in there. But
that's like me when I went, what is it called? Skeet shooting.
Mm-hmm. Shotgun.
What's a skeet shooting?
Shotgun.
When you have a shotgun, trap you like skeet. Shoot the discs clay they pigeons. Throw in there. Yeah.
Oh my god.
I used to teach that.
I hit like 10 out of 12 and my brother hit none. He's like, what the fuck? Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm in a pea coat and like heels.
Of course he is. Of
and
course
he's just
he
like,
is.
What the fuck are you doing?
It's like, the heels.
It's the heels, right. Absolutely.
It's all in the heels.
Yeah, because when I was working at the camp, my buddy was throwing it and it bounced off and hit him in the shin. Oh, luckily, it was the back of the axe, but it came back and hit him in the fucking shins.
But we all know how that feels.
Yeah, and they were telling some horror stories of like the axes like bouncing and ricocheting and hitting people.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God. It happens. I don't even know. Yeah, no. Thank God we didn't have any of that. So it was good.
But that's fun. That's fun.
It was a lot of fun.
We should go do it. Gay talk excursion.
Not doing that.
Lord have mercy.
They have knife throwing too.
I'd love to see you guys in an escape room. Personally.
I've been trying to take.
We should all go to an escape
room. I have been trying to get you guys to go to an escape room for so goddamn long.
I'd love to see that.
I don't remember that message.
Oh, you being a cunt. I have for so long tried. I did these two in Canada that were absolutely terrifying. Like, you started blindfolded and handcuffed. Wow. They went like all out. It was so cool.
Wait, you got handcuffed?
Well, they weren't legally allowed to handcuff you, so they had ropes on your hands. But he was like,
the escape room wasn't he was the like, only thing he was doing.
What did I sign up for? I'm into it.
and there's blindfolds? All right, now I'm really into it. You got me.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Do I have to pull my pants down? Sure, I'm in.
Sir, you can pull those back up. What? Sorry, I'm still learning.
Oh, my God.
I'm new.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Welcome to Canada.
Welcome to Chris's life.
That's right. Welcome back, honey. We missed you.
I know.
All right, well, listen, we do have Dr. G coming on. We've got about 15 minutes to cover some stories, so we're going to definitely jump into those.
But as normal, I'm going to say something before you.
Okay. Of course.
Go for it.
So this is going to bring it down a little bit. But
Of course.
Today is a special day for me.
It is.
It's November 4th, which means Matt would have been 32 today. Oh. So I just want to say happy birthday to him and
happy
dedicate the show today to him.
Of course. Happy birthday.
Awesome. Well, happy birthday, Matt. All right, so why don't we jump into some stories? Thank you for that. That was beautiful and amazing, and I love it.
I didn't cry.
All right, very quickly, before we jump into our stories, I just want to remind everyone, tomorrow is Election Day. Very important elections are happening at the local level. It's one of the most important elections that you could participate in because they immediately affect you and the people that are around you. So make sure that you know who's running, know who represents you and who speaks for you, and go do your duty tomorrow.
Because everything starts at the local level.
That's right.
It's incredibly important. And then if you look across the country, there are some big, I believe there are gubernatorial races in Alabama and maybe Mississippi. I believe it's Alabama and Mississippi.
Our phone number's from there, I'm just saying.
Alabama, yes. And then there's, I believe the whole Senate is up, the state Senate in Virginia, I believe, or the whole legislature is up. So there are some big races across the country, but it's important to vote and take part in your local elections.
Absolutely. So that being said, I wanted to jump into some stories. It is November. November's one of many things. You know, a lot of people celebrating a lot of things, but here on the show, traditionally, we have always celebrated Transgender Awareness Month, and I think that it's fitting to start today's stories with a story of Patricio Manuel. He is a transgender man. Manuel began his boxing career. He's a boxer as a female competitor in the early 2000s, and he became the world's first transgender boxer to compete in a professional fight, which he won on December 12th of 2018. Wow. And then on September 26, 2019, he made history yet again when the iconic boxing brand Everlast named him the face of the company, a position previously held by other boxers in history like Jack Dempsey, Sugar Ray Robinson, and Canelo Alvarez. So I wanted to congratulate Manuel and just, you know, an amazing job. You know, sometimes you have to have the passion to love what you do and go for it. And he did. And now he is literally the face of a company that's so male dominated and so machista. And to think that a transgender man could actually do this is just absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. And I think that he deserves claps. Mm-hmm. So fantastic. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see all of the other things that are going to be coming out in the month of November in celebration and in the efforts of bringing awareness to our transgender brothers and sisters in our community.
So, yeah. No, it's pretty exciting, actually, because we talk about all of these, you know, football stars that come out mm-hmm. or different, you know, individuals. But it's always I'm gay mm-hmm. or I'm a lesbian. We really haven't had a transgender individual come out in such a major type of sport, especially such a masculine sport.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So this is like a huge statement.
It is. It is. And, you know, for a company like Everlast, thank you. Thank you for recognizing someone's lifelong efforts and for really just bestowing on this person all that he deserves. I mean, he worked hard for it, you know?
But also, like, beyond that, too, it's like these companies are coming out and they're sponsoring and they're pulling, you know, they're highlighting these individuals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, it's some type of political move for them, you know, in the long run. But at the same time, you're seeing more and more and more of that, especially with this fucking administration.
That's
everybody's
right.
like, fuck you. No, mm-hmm. anybody right. can be whatever they want to be, and I'm going to support them. And I think that that is beautiful. I mean, even with, like, you have the example of Popeyes and Chick-fil-A, when Popeyes came out with a fucking sandwich, that was the exact sandwich that Chick-fil-A did, mm-hmm. but they were like, come to us because we're not fucking homophobic. Yeah.
Taste That's the right. same, just a little less homophobia in there.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
I have still yet to taste. Have you had the Popeyes no. sandwich yet?
I am actually, I don't go to eat any of those, unfortunately.
Okay, well,
there's
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. No,
there's nothing wrong with it. I don't go to Chick-fil-A and I won't ever because yeah. obviously they support a anti-LGBT agenda. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, you know, they won't get my business. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would be crucified if somebody saw me in a Popeye. I mean, excuse me, in a Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I'm a McDonald's person, personally.
I mean, I like
what's your favorite? Put you on the spot.
I actually like the number 10. It's the chicken nuggets.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
You peck me as a nugget guy.
With a small M&M McFlurry with extra M&Ms.
Nice. And a bucket of candy.
I was going to say, hence the bucket of candy in front of him.
No M&Ms in
here. It's not even a bucket. It's like
but, you know, they're gone now.
They're gone now.
All those greedy little kids.
Oh, there's Starburst in there? I want one. No.
Yeah, here.
And I hope you guys are seeing this because it's really like a trough of candy that's like bestowed upon our guests.
Yes, so, my trough of candy.
So back very the fuck quickly. Up. It's basically what he's saying.
Save me some Whoppers.
During Halloween,
and I got a pink one.
We literally had a storm. Yay! It was a windstorm and it was bad and it was rain and everything. Thankfully, the rain held off enough for me to get rid of the four huge bags of candy that I bought for the neighborhood.
Did you see that? Starburst.
I know. I was like, I hope you guys can see
it. Group of people that were carrying a tent in Canada to trick or treat? It was like a group of like 15 no, people.
That's amazing.
And they were underneath like what perfect. You would consider here in America like a garage tent.
Like,
and they were all carrying it down the street because it was amazing. Pouring rain.
That's amazing. When in Canada.
Only in Canada.
Only in fucking Canada. And freaking.
They find a way.
Right, exactly. And I love your friends, Colin and Jonah. That was so cute. They made all those little gift bags, but of course they had like a billion of them left over.
Yeah, he was like, I hate my life.
But that was so sweet. I was like, I want to go trick or treating in your neighborhood.
He's always trying to be so gay and so cute. And I'm like, just give him fucking candy, man. Yeah. He's like, seriously. No, everybody gets a gift bag with a ribbon. Oh. Like, you're adorable. Did you make mini kiss too? Like,
yeah, right?
That's awesome.
It's like one of my favorite stories. Waking up there, we were all so hungover. Oh. I forget what it was. Was it with you?
I was there.
When
yeah.
they made quiche?
Yeah.
So Colin gets up. We're all like stumbling around the house.
And I'm like
he just,
crawling
like, goes
down the
out
stairs.
To the garden, makes a fresh quiche, and like we're all like, okay, so we're all sitting down and having a nice breakfast. Like, and he just got up and cooked this beautiful meal.
Right, like, I'm walking out with a vomit bag. He's walking out with a freshly baked quiche with fresh vegetables from his garden.
Yeah, there may have been some pot in there. We don't know.
And of course, it would be Christopher walking out with the vomit bag.
Right, right. I didn't.
What's
use
wrong
it.
With the trash pail or the toilet? I mean, you were in a house. Why do you need a bag?
Well, it's on the move.
And also, sometimes he doesn't get to where he needs
to go.
That's
true. I don't make it sometimes.
He just falls asleep where he is.
You know, it happens. It's all right. Indoors, outdoors, whatever.
Could be worse.
Could be worse. But since we were talking about that, I did want to talk about... I actually finished binge-watching Designated Survivor. I watched the first season when it came out with Kiefer Sutherland, Kirkman 2020. And in the third season, they really bring... they shed light on the LGBTQ plus community. President Kirkman's sister-in-law is transgender, transitioned from male to female, and they bring in a gay character who's working as an intern for the press secretary. And while the sister-in-law was thrown out in a smear campaign by the GOP, of course, who's running against Kirkman, they're trying to smear him, saying he's hiding a transgender sister-in-law. She's starting to think about becoming an activist, and the gay character actually brings her to a support group, but the support group was an actual support group. It wasn't scripted. It was a group of transgender individuals who are just trying to cope with each other and share their stories, and they're bringing this to the show, and he starts to want to bring a trans activist into his campaign. So he's really shedding, the show is really shedding light on the community, which is really great. And that's in the third season of Designated Survivor. I really recommend checking it out because it's really cool that it wasn't scripted. The support group were actually people who are going through things, seeking help with one another, seeking comfort with one another, and showing comfort for one another. And it was,
I mean, obviously,
beautiful.
They had to make some sort of agreement to allow
some
sort of
recording
to happen.
Because it does say at the end of the episode that the support group was real. None of this was scripted. These were the real stories of the individuals.
Do we know who the support group was?
I don't offhand, no. Okay. But it's,
but
I can look
watch
it up. Yeah. Yeah.
Where can you find this?
Designated Survivor is a Netflix show now. Netflix. So they have season 1 through 3. It's very political, obviously, but it's a really great show. You're going to want him to be president once you watch it. But yeah, by season 3, they're really advocating for the LGBT community.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really, really a big surprise. I was... Nice to see.
So, and if you're wondering why the show is called Designated Survivor, is because on top of the fact that it's a political show, it just there's always one person, right? When we have the State of the Union address, there's always one person that stays behind in the entire cabinet that is designated the survivor. So if something were to happen, something catastrophic, and where you're losing your entire government, there's always that one person that then becomes the head of state.
Right. And he was this isn't giving anything away. He was the HUD secretary.
Yeah.
So he was literally housing and urban development and then thrust it into the highest office.
I cannot see Ben Carson becoming.
I know, right?
That's crazy.
But it's a great show.
That sounds very interesting.
It's such a good show.
Yeah, okay.
It's such a good show. Definitely check it out.
And he's such a politico. So, you know, it's like right up his alley.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it.
All right. So before we go to break, we have one more story. And this one's exciting. And this one comes all the way to us from Australia, from one of our listeners. Ben, thank you for sending this via Facebook Messenger for our dear Trish. Because this is all you, baby.
All right. Guess who's back in the news, everybody?
Guess who's back in the motherfucking
Ben
house?
And Magic. We talked about them before on the show, obviously, because, you know, I talk about gay animals all the time.
That's right.
But we have gay penguins again. So we have Sven and Magic actually incubating another egg.
They adopted another one.
So technically, they did adopt another one. So basically, what is happening is they've raised... Svenjik. So well that the zookeeper saw another couple that had two eggs that they couldn't care for, so they gave them another one. So it's been only a year and they're going to have another baby. And Svenjik is doing great, which is super exciting. She's, I guess, a little confused about what's going on in life, but I mean, obviously, who wouldn't be? Mom and Dad are ignoring her again, or Dad and Dad are ignoring her again. But it's really exciting to see this penguin couple having another baby. But what's also even more exciting is that at the same zoo, two female gentoos hatched a chick earlier this year. So yes, Sven and Magic are getting all the attention, but there are lesbians there as well.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
That's awesome. That's right. You know, it's always good to see
gay penguins.
Mm-hmm. Gay penguins.
And Trump's executive orders will not extend to gay penguins. They're going to be able to adopt. They are loving parents.
We don't know if the egg is actually fertilized yet, but hopefully we'll know in a couple of weeks. And then in a couple of months, they'll be parents of two.
Yay.
And tell me, this is, it's interesting. It's amazing to see, right? Because we talk about this often because he's obsessed with gay animals, but it's always good to see gay anything represented in the animal kingdom, because it just goes to show you that this is a naturally occurring thing in nature, that we are not an abomination. We are not a lifestyle. We are not something that just we became this after we were born. This is who we are. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to have to deal with it.
Love is love, motherfucker.
That's right.
Whether you're a penguin, a human, a flamingo, what do you think about the list?
I love animals. Those types of stories, actually. And I'm always interested in any intelligent life form that displays homosexual sort of interactions, because it does sort of support the idea that, you know, human beings are animals too, and this isn't something that we've chosen. This is something that we've chosen to accept, and, you know, this is just who we are. So, yeah, I'm right with Nick, actually. I do like hearing about these little animal stories every once in a while. So
it's good to – it reaffirms that it's not a fabricated, man-made decision.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Because, I mean, there is some obviously, there's a lot of intelligence within the animal kingdom, but it just goes to show you this is nature.
With the exception of the show.
I just saw a documentary on that, actually.
You know what's actually really cute, too, is that they had started building this nest before they were given the egg.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, they were ready.
They were already trying to nest again. And then on top of it, too, the zookeepers, they were like, this is the cleanest nest out of all the penguins.
Of course. It's the gay nest, of course. I almost feel like that would be your nest.
Yeah, no, it would be.
Like totally. Mm-hmm. All right, well, listen, guys. It is 6:29 p.m. here on the Eastern Coast. We, of course, are having the incredible Dr. G, who's going to join us in about 10 minutes. So we are going to take a quick break. And when we do, we are back with the great doctor. So we're going to leave you with some music, and we'll be right back.
It's hard to see you with a man you call your friend, but in the end, I know I don't have much time to tell you why I wanna die, but then I cry, so then I lie, so I don't make you bend time. 'Cause if you wanted me to move, you know I would. Because I'm good at making you love me. And if I said I needed more than I came for, would you ignore me making you love me? So baby, play me on your love. See, 'cause if you
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back from the break. That was Time from the incredible Pat Riley, previous guest of ours. We love that song. And of course, now joining us is the man of the hour, the one, the only, brought to you all the way from Bespoke Surgical, the incredible Dr. Evan Goldstein for this month's Tales from the Tale. Hi, Dr. G.
Hey, everybody. How are you?
Oh, we're much better now that you're on our screen.
Oh, you're so sweet.
With those eloquent fingers. I couldn't say
it.
Oh, look so. Yeah, you felt them before.
Hi!
This is true.
You didn't even start the introductions.
Sorry.
All right, so before we get going, I just wanted to let you know that we do have a guest host in-house today. We have Dante joining us.
Hello, hello.
And so this is Dr. G.
Hi, Dr. G.
How are you? Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I've heard some amazing things about you.
Well, let's see if they're real. I don't know.
Let's just say he's got magical hands and fingers. Ask Chris, he knows. So we have a very, very interesting topic today. So we're going to be talking about, someone losing, literally losing their hole and their asshole.
Like beyond blooming.
Like beyond blooming, it's gone.
Way beyond.
And so this was a very interesting story, very tough to read, obviously, because of the trauma and the issues that this young man goes through as a result of his condition. So I wanted you to tee us up, lay the story out for us, and then we're going to jump into our conversation.
Yeah, sure. So it actually wound up coming to me through Instagram, a DM of someone that obviously this went through from a trauma perspective, and how years later it's still pretty traumatic from a psychosocial and obviously physical component of how do you, and I say it all the time, if you take the ass away from the bottom, it becomes significantly catastrophic for people's lives. And I think that that's empowering all of us to really understand that that's the nature of anal issues, is that when you're not able to engage, it fucking really sucks. And so in terms of people that come and see me, it's usually a transient issue of not being able to use their ass. But this is obviously a permanent issue. A younger guy who wound up having a pretty horrific condition, which is called ulcerative colitis. It's basically your intestines are eating itself away to the point where you have significant pain. There's a tremendous amount of diarrhea. You can't really digest anything. You're shitting blood. It just becomes a catastrophic situation. And it varies. There are people that have very mild cases. There are people that obviously have very severe cases. And there's kind of different types of treatments and modalities. But when you're given a diagnosis of ulcerative colitis, you also have a pretty high propensity to develop cancer of the colon and the rectum. And so what winds up happening is a lot of these people are monitored, but depending upon the severity, some people actually have to have their entire intestinal kind of colon and rectum removed so that all of the bad tissue is gone and improves their quality of life to the best of its ability and also diminishes their cancer risk.
So how does something like that happen? Is it a genetic thing or?
Yeah, it's like autoimmune, your body just, and there are definitely, it's multifactorial in terms of a lot of people from environmental and eating and diet and all that stuff. But for the most part, yeah, it just winds up being what's called luck of the fucking draw. You just draw a shitty stick and it happens. And with this guy, I didn't get a tremendous amount of the story just because of how this came about. But I got to the point where, I guess, one evening there was a significant amount of bleeding, which required him to go to the emergency room and hypotensive, losing blood pressure, losing blood. All of this stuff became obviously an emergent situation where, knowing his diagnosis, they decided to bring him to the operating room and formally do a complete removal. And obviously it's life or death. The life side was chosen, though obviously, nobody talked to him about any sexual history and understanding of, well, where and what are you and what do you want to use and how do you want to do it, to make sure that this was, you know, a life or death situation and that was chosen to remove.
If somebody found themselves in a situation like this and they were a bottom, are there other options than a complete removal? And from what I understand from the article, literally sewing up the butthole, is there any other option for this individual or people in this condition?
Yes. So I think a couple of things. One is there are people that would not go all the way with removal, even though their risk of cancer is higher, just because they're able to manage everything with medications. And also they would do a lot of frequent colonoscopies and evaluations to make sure that there's no cancer development. I think that a lot of the situations, you know, what are the odds of it being ulcerative colitis and identifying as gay and identifying as bottom? There's probably not a tremendous amount out there. And if you are and you're listening, great, we want to hear your story. But I think that knowing all of that, you can, in a non-emergent situation, set yourself up for some element of success by saying, okay, well, where are we in terms of maximizing our medical management? Right. And also, knowing that I am gay and take it up the ass, what are some of the other options in terms on the table, like if there is an emergent situation or from a preventative perspective? Now, some people remove their entire colon and leave the rectum because you can actually get much more frequent evaluations of the rectum. And you could actually functionally use that area to have sex with. So I think that, you know, even though you still have a higher chance of getting rectal cancer by not having the rectum removed, it's easily accessible, clearly. You don't have to clean that out to kind of take evaluations. You could constantly keep a good eye on it to make sure that there's no evidence of cancer. So I think that you could modify what surgery you're doing for the client, making sure that everybody understands what risk is associated with that. But if you as a client and a patient do not disclose that you love it up the ass and this is what you are and how can you keep that sexual world going, I'm not sure that the surgeon really gives a shit.
Mm-hmm. So,
treating the ulcerative colitis.
So bottoms need a medical tag, is what I'm hearing. One.
Tattoo it. Fuck yeah.
Tattoo. Well, if I could just, something that it's kind of skipping my brain. Like, if we were talking about removing the colon and removing the rectum, is this something that could, like, lead to a colostomy bag? Like, how does.
This is a colostomy bag. Yeah, this is. So, a couple of things. You could do a colostomy bag, which. This is what was done. You could also do where they basically do a pouch, which is they take the small intestine and they kind of create a pseudo rectum and then reattach it. But those people are like shitting all the fucking time because, you know, there's no digestion that's there.
Right.
So it winds up being a lot of an irritant that's there, though people are on different medications to slow the gut down. Try to see if you can absorb better, get yourself into a little bit of a better dieting situation. But what winds up happening is that sexually, regardless of whether you have colostomy and or if you have this kind of pseudo, you know, rectum there, it obviously creates, you know, a conundrum. And if you have the rectum that's there, that again can cause a higher incidence of cancer. So what you're doing is you're causing a lot more irritation and inflammation. So a lot of people just go with a colostomy because it's functional, it's easier, you're able to control it and kind of be able to just fill up a bag, go do your thing. Right. But again, just even that in and of itself just totally sucks.
Yeah. Just being self-conscious of the fact that you have this bag that you have to carry with you.
Yeah, that's like a huge fear of my life. Huge fear.
So what I'm hearing is that this particular patient, this individual, had his rectum removed. He had his colon removed, And so he has to have a colostomy bag now attached to him all the time. He can't have anal sex, which is something that he absolutely enjoyed. And so now, you know, this is developing all these other issues, and the fact that self-esteem, you know, whether it would be depression, at the fact that he can't really enjoy one of the most basic human necessities, which is to be able to interact sexually with someone else. And so over a decade plus, this person has been going through this issue. How does one prepare themselves emotionally for this if you are heading in this route? If you find yourself having this condition and you know that eventually this is where you're going to end up, can you prepare yourself mentally for this type of challenge in your life?
And just to tag on a little bit to that, in the article, they talk a little bit about the medical treatment that he was going through and how it didn't work, clearly. I think that ties perfectly into your question as to what was he doing wrong? What was the doctor not prescribing to make sure that this situation actually didn't happen?
Yeah, I think one is, you know, it's a full court press of how you optimize someone's health. And there are emergency situations that happen regardless of how good you are. Now, some of the stuff failed many different types of medicines and on IVs. And this was a very, very, very complicated case. Mm-hmm. This is like, you know, a few and far between that. Yes, you're given a diagnosis of ulcerative colitis, but then all of a sudden it becomes really uncontrollable. And the only thing that you could say is, well, okay, did somebody just miss the ball by saying, you know what, let's do surgery now, because we're definitely going down the wrong path. And again, it could have been this circuitous route, but a lot of the information I couldn't get fully, just because clearly there was so much emotional connectivity with being disconnected, right?
Yeah, anal. Yeah.
And so, you know, there was some suicide threats on DM. There was like, I was like, you know, you can't be doing that because I got to send now, you know, people to the house and get you fully, you know, committed until we feel like you're safe. So you can imagine how distraught this situation is. And I'm not sure that you're ever going to be able to, you know, it's interesting. It's like there are plenty of couples that suck dick and lick around, but they don't penetrate. And that gets them off to the nth degree. And then there are people that do not, without something in their ass, it is not considered sex for them.
That was another thing that I was going to ask you. So for example, you know, so if you're a bottom and you find yourself in this situation, could the fact that you're going through all of this emotional distress, all of this mental anguish at the fact that you cannot literally use your butthole to enjoy the simple act of anal sex, could that lead to impotence in the sense that your penis, you might not even just want to even just use your penis to just jerk off and find satisfaction in some way, shape, or form that would try to, in a small way, relieve your sexual tensions?
I think, you know, it's super multifactorial because there are so many bottoms that I know that don't get off actually physically and come and get into an orgasm. They're getting off just from someone being inside them. And so I usually tell those people that you should force yourself to get off, because if not, your prostate's going to get so inflamed and irritated that, you know, you really need to either, if somebody's in you, get off with that, you know, with together or after or by yourself to kind of decrease all the inflammation that's in the prostate. But, you know, it's interesting, you know, you see it also as well in the trans community, where a lot of trans, you know, are tucking their penis, tucking their balls, and they're making it as small as possible and non-functional, because that just doesn't really titillate them in that way. You know, so I think it's all over the map as to what's going to get you off. But if you're in the mindset of I need to receive, and now all of a sudden that is taken away from you, I think it becomes, you know, a really challenging place sexually, especially if you are such a sexual being that relies on that penetration to get you where you need to be. I unfortunately don't have answers. You know, I walked away from this conversation with this guy to say, you know, it's interesting. I know people that can build an entire vagina and access cavity for the trans community to allow them some element of penetration. Why can't I do that anally as well? And there's obviously, there's a lot of thinking that needs to go into this. Unfortunately, it probably needed to be done at the time of some element of an elective procedure, but nobody would touch it. It winds up being a very complicated endeavor for a select few that are going through this, though. But I don't think that should stop us from pursuing this, so that when people are in this situation, that we do have other alternatives, so that people now are able to pseudo engage.
Right. So you were talking a little bit about the G spot or the prostate, and as a bottom, we all know that there is this amazing moment when somebody is stimulating that area anally. Is there any way to hit that area or
massage the prostate
right. Without that ability, I guess?
Without the penetration?
Without the hole, yeah.
The penis.
Oh, I get what you're saying. I think that it's hard because it's about 4 to 8 centimeters, depending upon your anatomy, internally. And, you know, some people can do, because there are nerves that are actually connected into the pelvic floor. So you could do, like, you know, the gooch or like the choda area. You know, the ones that you like.
Fuck you. I missed you.
The one that you like to lick.
Okay. That sponsorship's just going to keep going up.
So you can stimulate from there. Also, like, if you are like licking or playing in that region, you could take your finger and kind of literally in between the asshole and your balls, kind of massage the muscle in that area, because it's all really connected. A lot of people like that. It feels really good. And you can actually like really create a really good orgasm. Now, how much of that is purely prosthetic? I don't know the right answer to that.
And you also,
I think that obviously if you have an asshole, you can stimulate in some capacity with toys, fingers, and or cock. You just need to be careful, because there's a difference between milking the prostate, and that's in a controlled way, versus fucking the prostate. and then when you're doing that, that could really be harmful.
Oh my God, you say milking the prostate, and all I can think about is that time my boss got in my car, we were going on a meeting, and your fucking recording popped up on my radio, and it was like, milking the prostate. And my boss was like, what the fuck is this? Anyway, so...
Maybe the boss will listen to this, and we'll talk about it again.
Oh my God, I don't think that's...
And now your boss knows that you love to be licked in the toga area.
So he loves that prostate milk.
I wanted to ask you if somebody came to you in an emergency situation like this, how would you have reacted? Would you have done the same thing that this person went through?
First off, I don't do this colon type of surgery anymore. It was a long, long time ago that I did that. So I'm only isolated to the asshole. But I think that, again, it's a life or death situation. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that sometimes you don't know where it's bleeding, and you have to just make a decision. And everyone knows that this decision may not, you know, lead to the best potential outcome, but the goal is to save somebody's life.
Right. But wasn't it safe to say if you're experiencing bleeding and it's coming out red, that you know it's not coming from your intestinal area, it's coming probably from the rectum or the anus? If you're bleeding from the inside, wouldn't it typically be like a blacker color?
Very good. The issue,
who are
though,
you,
Christopher?
Well, I took human bio.
He just said very good that he's raising the question. He wasn't necessarily right.
Okay, well, you know, I only got an A-.
C.
Yeah, maybe a B.
Okay.
So A-. I think the issue becomes more of depending upon, yes, you would think that it would be isolated to specifically the left side of the colon if they're bleeding, but, you know, that red blood. But remember, when you're exsanguinating, it doesn't matter where the fuck you're bleeding. What happens is blood is a cathartic. And so what happens is the second that you start bleeding, it's flowing out your ass. And it could be from the right side. It could be from centrally. You don't know. Now, there's certain things that you could do, like a body imaging study where they're using a dye and they're able to isolate where you're actually bleeding. But that just, you need to be somewhat stable to actually go for those tests. And there are, you know, it's a technetium scan that they're using where you're actually able to look and see, oh, they're bleeding from the right side, or, oh, you're bleeding from the left side. And then you could do an isolated targeted removal, even though it's emergent. The issue though is that, like, in this situation with ulcerative colitis, it's just so fucked up that you're literally bleeding from everywhere. And so if you did an isolated removal, then you may still be bleeding and it just becomes an issue. So just, if you're going to take care of it and get rid of it anyway, you might as well just do what you need to do.
So it almost sounds like, for example, in this situation, it was so inherently emergent. It was so, it's such an emergency case that he really didn't have an opportunity to decide what the best solution for him would have been. The doctors made that for him. Is this normally the case in this situation?
I think that that's where it goes to healthcare proxies, and it goes to making sure that family members understand your situations and understand who you are to make the appropriate decisions. Now, I don't know if he was coherent enough to make decisions. I do believe he was, but I think these are situations that should be planned as much as they potentially could be. And knowing that there's complications, and this is not only of ulcerative colitis, this is any kind of unfortunate disease that we all may get or have, is understanding what are the potential risks and what are the potential complications of having this, where you can have an educated discussion on plan of action if something emergently does happen, to make sure. And also to push that, you know, sometimes nobody wants to go through surgery, but at some point someone has to kind of raise their hand and be like, you know what, we're in a good state right now, and this is probably an opportune time to do surgery. Let's talk about what are the risks, the benefits, and the ramifications of that. And people have to not be ashamed to say, I'm a fucking bottom, you know, like that's the thing, you know, it's like, I get it. People suck. Physicians suck. Nobody cares about you being a bottom. But at the end of the day, you have to care. You know, you have to say that this is who I am. And no matter what, push our agenda. Yeah. We're taking over the fucking world.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
Well, I mean, it's important because in the end, you're the one that has to live with this for the rest of your life.
My ass would have straight up woke up from a dead sleep if they had put me under. I'd have been like, you're sewing up what?
Yeah, that's why you need to
You better figure out another fucking way.
You need to get a tattoo on you, DNRA. Do not remove asshole. So if she's unconscious.
So let's talk about the future, though, the future of the butthole, because there's got to be a way, fucker, to save the butthole. Like, this guy now has no butt. Are there any plans or anything in motion to maybe create a prosthetic cavity for this individual?
I don't think it's that difficult to do. I think the problem is that there's so much inflammation, years of ulcerative colitis, that actually inside the pelvic area, it's probably really stuck and frozen and very difficult to achieve. You know, if you're thinking about like a trans from, you know, male to female, you know, internally it's healthy, it's good tissue, and even there they have significant complications. I can only imagine in someone that had years of ulcerative colitis and inflammatory bowel issues, how really difficult that would be. And though my mind is working to try and figure out, like, okay, like, is there something as a pseudo, you know, component to create that stimulation? Now, I guess the other issue is, like, could you do some stimulation electrical stimulation, like prostate or something like that, that gives the sensation. And then this opens up even more of like how much of bottoming is actual physical,
right,
versus emotional and you know, mental,
right,
component to it. That's what I think is so interesting in this.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that? I know, I feel like you want to say something about it.
Well, I've just been told and learned a couple of times that the brain is like the biggest sex organ, and that your brain is, and what you're going through and what you're thinking about, like that's why, you know, a lot of the times guys can jerk off, because in their head they're thinking about something, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be enacting that thing at the time to be feeling or being there, or, you know, if it was a memory or something. So I have just heard a couple of times, like, I mean, I don't know this poor individual who had to go through this, but I would imagine that incorporating some sort of like retraining in how he feels stimulated, and incorporating some new things, like maybe trying some toys or something that would vibrate, or like the doctor was talking about, like outside of the,
and like the taint area.
Yes, exactly. Like something that would still sort of stimulate that area in a way that maybe it's not the same thing as having a penis up inside of you, but it's still doing something, and just getting sort of adjusted to that. I think the mind is powerful enough that it would, he would be able to develop a new way of sort of getting off, you know, compared to having what he had previously experience. Been able to. Right.
Right.
Hmm. Yeah. I think that you're 100% right. I think we see it also.
And I not got an A in biology. I just want to throw that out.
Not an A minus.
A plus, actually.
They don't make A pluses in college. Oh, okay.
Don't hate Christopher.
I think that, you know, it's super interesting, the emotional connectivity from a bottoming perspective. I think that that's probably a whole nother conversation. But I think that when you look to pivot on, let's say, communities that use crystal, right? We always speak about this, right? You know, the crystal component is so mental, and then it translates to this physical sensations that after they're not using or abusing crystal.
We're talking about meth, right?
What?
Yes. Okay, cool. Gotcha. Continue, yeah. Sorry.
After they're not using crystal meth, what winds up happening is that they have a very difficult time achieving those orgasms and getting themselves sexually off. Right. And it's very similar. There's this like disconnect of mental, emotional, and then physical. And I think it all plays into this. And I think that it's so difficult. It's very easy for us to say to retrain, but it's so hard to do that, to retrain yourself to say, okay, well, I'm going to get off this way and do these things. I think that, yes, you're right. We need the support system to help emotional, and then also figure out other ways that we can tackle that. And then kind of move forward. If there is moving forward, I think it becomes it's really a difficult game. And the question is like, do you even put somebody on like not antidepressants or something along those lines that may make your sexual drive lower, mm-hmm, so that you don't feel suicidal? Right? That's another way to approach this, which is we know that antidepressants, certain classes, make people have difficulty in terms of erections, difficulty in terms of orgasm, and their sexual drive is diminished. So, well, do we kind of do a chemical, you know, castration for somebody to now bring their sex drive and testosterone levels down so that they don't have this raging fucking, you know, hormones going? That's another interesting conversation, right?
It sounds like he would need support, people who know what he's going through and who could be there to like show him some tips and tricks, and who may have gone through similar situations and know what they're talking about. And I don't know.
And one of the other things too is like, where are we today, right? We know that this individual has been afflicted with this for well over a decade, going on 15 plus years. Where is he today? Is this something that you are regularly checking in with, or is just, do we not know?
Periodically he'll DM, and you know, he has some other issues with family that he's kind of being a caretaker to. And I think that he has reached out to figure out, are there other options? And I think that a lot of what we're saying is great. And I'm going to go back and write that we spoke about it, and I want him to listen and kind of figure out how we could create a support system of people that are attempting to understand, because obviously most of us don't understand because we've never been through it, but creating a support system, but then also figuring out other ways sexually and getting him plugged in. Also, the other component of how do we potentially, if maybe diminishing the sex drive is a good option, where now that's not your focus of every waking hour of how am I going to get off and achieve that.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that's a sex drive thing, or is that just something like, because this is like, if someone tells you like, don't think about the color red, like you're only going to think about the color red. Is that like, because this is, was such a, what's the word, like
traumatic
experience, right? It's something that's gonna be like, I remember when I came out as gay, I told, like, I would wake up and be like, I'm gay for like the first couple of weeks, and yeah, then after a while I was like, okay, yeah, I know,
I still do that,
right? But it's like but I'm wondering if this was such a traumatic experience that this is something that he would identify as, and that's why he's like holding on to this aspect of his life, and rather than looking at his whole life and the rest of everything that's going on, because, you know, this is such a hard situation to go through, that's what he's identifying with.
I don't know. You know, I mean, you bring up good points, but I think the issue is, like, look at sex addiction, right? Mm-hmm. You know, what is that stemming from? You know, is it, I think it's yes, the sensation. Well, are you trying to ask him?
He just pointed at me.
Said, Chris, can you speak to this at all?
No. Continue, doctor. I know.
Sorry. What were you saying?
Yeah, please continue, I'm doctor.
Waiting for your answer. If you have an addiction, let us know.
I mean, you literally, we had an entire episode talking about your situation. And
my name's Chris, and I'm. Oh no, sorry, we're not doing that. Okay.
So, I mean, you.
Wait,
you,
why are we turning this back to me?
Well, because you clearly had some issues in the bottoming arena, something you had never done.
He's a bottomer.
And you worked with Dr. G in examining and seeing what options you had and what you could do and how you could safely engage in that.
Forget it. I'll take it off.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Thank
but,
you.
On the flip side of that, yeah, you sort of kind of are.
Dr. G. Dr. G, please, for the love of God, chime back in.
All right, I will come back in.
Thank you. Giggity.
Now, I think on a sex addiction perspective, I think a lot of it is obviously mental and psychosocial. Right. But I also do think that there is a potential of, from a hormone perspective, you see it all the time with, like, you know, injectors that are in the gym that are trying to build bulk and they're using, like, you know, steroids and hormones. There is that rage, right? I mean, that is from some element of imbalance, right? And now we've gotten that down to a science to give people ups and downs and keep them steady to get where they need to go. But I think, again, you look at it, what about like a fucking dog that just humps the guy, everything in their way?
Oh,
and then
Lord.
You cut their balls off, and then, like, they're just laying down, you know?
They get fat and everything.
I've seen dogs with no balls that will still hump the shit out of your legs.
I think a lot of this also is innate as well. So I don't think we're going to come up with this conclusions during this lovely Gay Talk 2.0. But I do think that it raises super interesting points, and I think making sure that our listeners and people that do listen to this and run into this, that people look at this and say how catastrophic it is, not only for this individual, but if someone's ass is not being playable because of X, Y, and Z, that it could be detrimental to many different things in people's lives. And the issue is, people need to talk about it. People need to understand it. People need to feel comfortable with their teams to make sure that hopefully nobody has to go without their ass being used sexually.
Touché.
And also, before we like wrap this up, I mean, we've been talking about the mental component for a bit. Have you suggested a therapist? Has this person seen a therapist since the situation?
Mental health.
Yeah, I've definitely tried to figure out from a team perspective, is there people there to support this individual? And again, some of the data, some of the stuff that I got, it's hard to, because it's not my true client. But I did want to raise the issue. And some of the story is not fully, you know, because there was so much more to this story. So I kind of really just put the gist of where we're at so that people can see where we are, to give really great understanding and good conversation to figure out, like, how do we just make sure that this is part and parcel to everybody's evaluations? Because I do think understanding people's sexuality, identities, and uses then changes the algorithms. And we spoke about it before, like some people come to me after having a stapled hemorrhoidectomy, where they're literally having their, you know, hemorrhoids removed via a staple, and I've had to pull out staples because their partners are trying to have sex, and like, it's cutting their cock, they feel it, it's so painful.
You mean
so
that doesn't feel good? Having a penis rubbing up against a staple?
Sometimes the sharp end is in the wrong
place. Totally,
way.
Yeah. Oh, you got me with staple the first time.
So I think that, you know, that's a whole nother conversation, but I think it's, again, the same understanding that if we take it up the ass, or you want to, or you potentially will, that needs to be disclosed so that everyone understands. And if you feel as if that person is not accepting of that, then you walk the fuck out.
You find a new provider.
And you find somebody that's new. You could DM and reach out to me. You could do whatever you want. I'm more than happy to help. But I think it's now really turning it back and empowering the bottom, because unfortunately, most people suck in this world, and they will not take the impetus to say, hey, do you engage sexually? How do you do it? Are you happy? All these sexual questions. So I think we have to keep pushing the narrative. And hopefully in my time, that everyone will be taking it up the ass.
Yeah, Chris.
Dr. G, 2020.
All right.
All right. Well, Dr. G, as always, you know, you are a wealth of information, and your stories truly are touching. And I feel that help many people, people that listen to the show here, people that read the blog at medium.com, and all of your experiences with your patients. First and foremost, I want to thank the patients that allow you to tell their stories, right? Even though we're not naming anyone, one of the most important parts of that is being able to freely speak about the experiences of people that walk through your door. I think that is something that's going to help in general anyone that's looking for information on having options when it comes to making decisions about your sexual health.
I agree. And I think, you know, again, I always say it's all great that the clients allow me, also that you guys are pushing the agenda as well. And I think popular press and talking about all these issues, it's super amazing. And it just provides people with an understanding that there are providers that are out there that are trying to really tackle all these issues, and that there are lay people that want to know, and how do we do things to help communities. It's good. It's a good time to be anal.
Which is why we do this, you know, this segment. I think it's important for a lot of people in our community, especially bottoms, to listen and learn and be educated about their options.
And future bottoms.
And future bottoms.
Well, don't point to me. I'm just putting it out there.
And Chris.
And I think he does make a good point. We'll give him back a B plus, because
we're going up.
I think a lot of tops are mentally much more in the bottoming realm, but physically have limitations. And that's what we work on a lot, which is, how do we connect, you know, mental, psychosocial, and physical to get you to be a bottom.
For
right?
Chris, all it took was one of your fingers. That was it.
Oh, no.
Maybe two. Or was it three? Was he hungry? Come on, tell us.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
They're not as bony as they look. I'll say that.
Are you taking it up the ass now?
Huh? What was with that upward inflection?
Are you taking it up the ass now?
Yeah, I heard that.
He was for a while, yes. I'll answer for him.
He was on a roll for a moment there.
That's great.
Three times and it becomes a thing.
Of course. It does.
Five.
Thrice.
but you got to keep using it, man. Got to keep going. Because it's a muscle that stays contracted all day.
I know.
So you know, you got to stick it in, stick toys in, play with it, love it, caress it, make it yours.
All right, I'm going to need a doctor's note for that, but thank you.
Love your hole. No more bottom shaming.
I never bottom shame.
I'm just saying in general. I'm putting it out there.
We're not going to allow anybody to bottom shame you. And you're living your best life.
And we also need to get rid of the heteronormative concept of a bottom is a female. That's where the shame is coming from.
Yeah, the masculinity shit.
Yeah, no. I know someone who referred, when someone talked to him about bottoming, they replied, "I ain't no bottom ass bitch." And I had to walk out of the room because I was like, "I'm gonna hit you. I'm gonna hit you." Because it
don't
is. It's the masculinity
I'll be a fucking bitchy bottom. Don't fuck with me.
I love bro bottoms, man. I think bro bottoms are the best. I mean, Jesus Christ.
No, yeah, I feel you.
Just because you said that, I'll never, even before I even thought about taking a dick, when I first started working at York Street, like I can't say how old I was. When I first started working at York Street, we had a snowstorm and someone wrote on the hood of my car, "I'm a bossy bottom." And now I take that to heart and be like, you know what? Yeah. Someday I can fill those shoes maybe.
Well, just so that you know, you can legally be 18 and work at a bar.
Okay.
He was not 18.
No, I was old enough.
He was old enough. All right. Well, listen, Dr. G, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for doing what you do and for coming on this silly show and telling us all this amazing information and allowing us to be silly.
And informative.
And informative all in one. You know, it's what we do best.
Thank you so much. Follow us. Bespoke Surgical. Dr. Evan Goldstein, you could check me and my crazy children and sometimes really fun partner. And then also The Future Method. Check it out because we're really coming out with a really great array of products to support communities and also the education to make sure that everybody's doing the right thing. And I bid you adieu. I love you guys. I'll see you guys next time.
Absolutely. Next month. We can't wait.
You are just as amazing as I was told.
Thank you. Wait till you're in his office. Just kidding. He's a professional. Just kidding.
Okay. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye, Dr. G.
Bye, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Well, that was the incredible Dr. G. He's always awesome.
He's always fun.
He's fantastic.
He is a wealth of information. And as I was telling you off air, he just really has opened up a world of information when it comes to
bottoming
and butt health and understanding your anatomy.
Which is so important because we don't talk about that, obviously, in schools. You don't talk about in middle school, you know, anal sex. You don't talk about how to take care of your anus or preparing or anal health at all. It's all about, you know, heterosexual sex. So, you're kind of like missing the whole thing. And then it's just kind of like, what does your friends tell you to do? And it's like, okay.
The first time I was exposed to learning about the sexual organs was last semester in college.
Really?
Throughout.
So much makes sense now.
No, but it's actually a shame. And throughout my public school, we never had sex education or any, our health class like mentioned the word STDs once. Yeah. You know, that was as most education I had on the human body when it comes to sex and until taking human biology last semester. And that's a shame. And it is very true that those who have undergone sex education in school, it's all about the heterosexual sex. Right. You know, they talk about vaginal intercourse, but they never talk about, even if you are heterosexual, there's still anal intercourse.
Of course.
And that's something that's never discussed if you even have sex ed to begin with.
And even if it was done in a non-like sexuality way, in the sense of whether it's heterosexual or homosexual, and you're assigning a gender to it. Exactly. We all have these body parts. It's like, why aren't we talking about this? Mm-hmm. And this is not something new. It's not, you know, how many girls do it up the butt so they don't get pregnant?
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, you've worked
in several...
How many
girls do it up the butt because they like it?
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, there you go.
So you've worked in numerous agencies related to sexual health and things of that nature. But you come at it from a perspective of viruses, et cetera.
Yeah.
Did you know that something like this existed, that there was a doctor that really went out there and took care of, like, situations where internal issues and external issues, even like a simple hemorrhoid, could really like ruin your mojo and doing what you do best?
So actually, unfortunately, when I was living out in Utah, which was like a lifetime ago, I had a friend who I met out there who found out that he had the HPV virus and he had developed anal warts. Mm-hmm. And so I guess it had been a couple of years, or I don't remember exactly what his situation had been, but it had been enough that he had built up enough of these warts over a period of time that he could finger himself and feel them. And so he was trying to find a doctor in Utah and was being pushed from one person to another and was looking like, where do you go for this? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I think he said something like his seventh or eighth time of finding someone that he found in an internalist, I want to say. And it was someone who in Utah, which is so surprising, yep, in Salt Lake City, did take him in and did the surgery. And from what he told me, they burn off mm-hmm. all of the warts, and then he had to heal up and then go through like a couple of checks every once in a while to make sure that there were still no warts that had come back. I haven't checked in on him in a couple of years, but the last time I did, he said that he had never had anything happen ever since he had had, you know, the HPV virus and had everything checked out. And he had gone and had the shots, the Gardasil shots afterwards, which are supposed to be preventative for HPV virus. They recommend it for all teenagers, whether it's male or female now. Before, it used to be female. So we want everybody across the state of, I mean, everywhere in the U.S. to get HPV, you know, vaccinations. But yeah, and it was just like, to even in situations like that, I feel so bad because he's in an area where no one understands him. He felt so isolated. Every single time he was trying to go to a provider, they're just pushing him off to someone else saying, we don't do that here, we don't do that there. And it was because they understand that the HPV virus transfers from contact to contact. And if this person had anal warts, that it meant that he had had anal sex, receptive mm-hmm. anal sex, and that they weren't going to treat a gay man who had received a penis inside of him.
On the upside, though, of that, though, I think it's important to note that if that happens, I think you need to embrace it and keep looking until you find that right mm-hmm. doctor.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because we talk about it on the show all the time. You need to be comfortable enough to talk to your doctor about what's going on with your body
yes.
and what's going on sexually for you.
Yes. Right?
And if you don't feel that way, these problems will persist and you will have more problems down the road.
Right, because the only person
cancer.
That's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that, of course. And the only person who's getting hurt from that is yourself.
Right.
Which,
right.
And it is hard sometimes, to be honest, because you fear judgment, but doctors take an oath. And for the most part, most of them aren't there to judge you. Of course, you're going to run into some asshole doctors who won't treat someone which is breaking their oath. But at the end of the day, the only person that you are hurting if you're not being open is really yourself.
And if you don't feel comfortable with having, I mean, you don't have to like jump into the deep end and be like, this is how I like having sex.
Right.
But you can like waddle into the pool and be like, you know, so how would I go about doing this and this and this if I was interested in, you know, performing oral sex on someone, or if I was interested, or I heard of a friend of mine who blah, 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 blah. You know, you can get a feel for your provider and understand like right away if this is someone who would be interested and knowledgeable about what it is you're talking about, or if you need to go and find somebody else.
Right.
And we are very adamant about finding, I'm very adamant about people feeling comfortable with talking to their providers about their sex life. Just like what he was talking about. The doctor was talking about this poor individual who wasn't able to advocate for himself about enjoying anal sex, has his ass removed.
Mm.
His anus removed.
And changed his life forever.
Right.
You know? That's interesting. Well, I mean, that was definitely a very, very healthy conversation regarding today's topic. Again, you know, most of the information and a lot of the stories that we cover on the show from Dr. Evan Goldstein are available on medium.com / Dr. Evan Goldstein. And there's a trove of information on there. I mean, the man really does a good job of documenting a lot of the experiences of some of his patients that, again, help others significantly in our community. And it's just important that we're aware of those.
You know what there's a trove of? There's a trove of candy left.
That's right.
So, been over here.
There's also, and I know we've said this before, but since we're talking about it, outcarehealth.org. It's a really great resource. It will find a provider in your area that is LGBTQ friendly. And as a provider, if you're listening to the show, you can join the outlist at outcarehealth.org. So it's important that you join. And if you're looking, it's important that you go there and look.
Fantastic.
All right. So we have a couple of more things that we would like to talk about before we – and he's giving me candy, this bitch.
The yellow ones. I love her.
The yellow ones. All right. There's a couple of more things, two things that we wanted to talk about, unless anybody has anything else to say before we move it on.
Did you find a gay talk term?
I did not.
Oh, I saw the pen was in there. So I to. No, no. That's your job.
Oh,
nothing racist, please.
Wow. Nasty. I was
– Well, we can get
my bad.
We can get back to it.
Yeah, of course.
Well, I've got to do Mom and Kim's minute
exactly.
First anyway, so
Christopher, welcome back. Please time.
Oh my God, I updated my phone, so everything's moved.
Mess.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
And go.
All right, it's Mom and Kim's minute, everybody. So Apple CEO Tim Cook, being gay is not a limitation; it's a feature. Beautiful story about that. Watch college students drown out an anti-LGBT street preacher by singing an Elvis song. Fox News host and right-wing guest blame California wildfires for hiring gay people.
Oh, fucking course.
Instagram rejected an HIV ad because the topic was too political. Fuck you. Teen in foster care since 2010 dreams of being adopted by two gay dads.
Aww. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, that's Mama amazing. Kim.
Thank you, as always.
Yeah, she always sends us such amazing stories and things that are, obviously we post every week as part of our weekly posts. So you can click on those links and read those articles and find out more on these stories that we try to cram in 30 seconds or less.
Well, it's a minute, but...
Well, a minute.
Except we said we're going to work on math next week, Tom. Mm-hmm. The alphabet was this past week.
I'm going to cut him. All right, so why don't we move over to our gay talk term? Do we have one?
Yeah, you know what? I feel like this was semi-appropriate to the conversation that we had earlier today with the good doctor.
All right, so before you get going, today's gay talk term is brought to you, of course, by...
GayRealEstate.com!
Thank you. Cucumber queen.
Yeah.
Homosexual who enjoys pushing flaccid shaped vegetables up his ass.
Trish.
That cucumber queen tosses a salad in the most unorthodox way.
Well, hello.
I'm proud of you, Trish.
You made it to the book.
It's a crazy book.
Several times.
Yeah. All right. She's graduated to the pineapple, though. She likes those ridges.
Yeah. It needs to be rough. Crazy. All right.
Oh, it's my turn. Okay. On this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by
GayRealEstate.com.
It's not a very good one, but we got through it. When November 4th, 2008, in the state of California, California referendum overturns same-sex marriage approval. The referendum seeking to constitutionally ban same-sex marriage in California is approved by a 52.2% of voters. This is the only time in modern history, though I believe this happened in a South American nation somewhat recently, this is the only time, according to this in modern history, that same-sex marriage has been overturned after it had gone into effect.
But I think it was
an island nation in the Caribbean. Yes. Yeah. I'm blanking on it, but I do remember that they voted to overturn.
I thought it was Trinidad and Tobago.
I don't think so. I don't think so, but...
One of those.
Yes. But. I don't know if the ban ever went into effect, but it was voted.
Yes.
Not sure if it was signed into law. Also, since it's just something as you guys know, I love history. So it's not a gay fact, but I have Today in History app on my phone. No, hold on. I saw this one the other day.
It's a gay show, Chris.
I know, but they need to update this shit because November 2nd, 1948.
It's November 4th.
This was the other day.
Sorry.
If you were listening.
Nope.
So on November 2nd, 1948, Harry S. Truman defeated Thomas E. Dewey to the surprise of pollsters and newspapers. Ready for this? And the greatest presidential upset in history. You need to update your app.
Oh, yeah.
You need to update your app.
Clearly, that was 2016.
All right, fine. Chris can have that one.
Thank you, bitch.
Clearly. Yeah. All right. I just put a now later in my mouth.
No, it's called a starburst.
A starburst. Mm, and now I have to read this. All right. I'm going to try.
She gonna choke.
Work with me. Here we go. If you love the show, make sure you go subscribe, rate, and review. Oh, Lord. On your favorite podcasting service by subscribing.
See, she's choking on it.
I called it.
I gotta take it out. All right. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device as soon as the episode is published, or you can access it on your web browser.
Your mouth is still watering. I can hear it.
Yes, it is. It's very juicy right now. You can also support us on Patreon. By doing so, you, our listeners, can help our show by pledging a monthly donation. Those donations can be in any denomination of a dollar or more, and we collect those on a monthly basis. Duh. Chris?
Next week will be November 11th, so we'll be observing and celebrating Veterans Day.
That's
and
right.
We're going to be bringing you a full episode of The Dish. The whole episode.
Stories galore.
That's right, with a capital H. So make sure to tune into that one.
I feel like that's wrong, but...
It's not.
Actually, I do think we have someone on the calendar.
No, yeah. we don't, but I think not I didn't anymore. Put somebody on the calendar.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Well. All right, so thank you to our guest, Dr. Evan Goldstein, for joining us on today's episode. He's amazing, as always. You can find the great doctor on social media at Bespoke Surgical or by visiting bespokesurgical.com. And of course, thank you, Dante, for joining us. We always love having
you. Thank you so much for having me. Are you kidding me?
It's amazing. Are you kidding me? You enjoyed it so much. We were like, yeah, bring him back. He's got to come back.
Oh my God, please.
You're on once your Gay Talk family.
That's right. Pretty much. That's truth.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take it.
Chris? Chris?
Can we put a rubber on this so I don't get pneumonias all over you?
I got confused. Because he was gone for like 3 weeks.
I'm like, Chris. I was like,
were you saying it before?
Yeah, it was weird.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that. All righty, ladies and gentlemen, and Charles, and in between, as always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, and our show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom? Take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, you can just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab located at the top of your web browser. There you can
Not put another Starburst in your mouth.
Not yet. I have it in my mouth. As soon as we hit go, I'm going to shove it in my mouth. Anyway, you can go and leave comments, suggest topics. You can leave a question for the cast or an individual host. You can also call us and leave us a voice message with any questions you may have. We can answer those for you on the show. That phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need the digits, it is 334-429-8255. Yes, that's an Alabama phone number. Don't forget that we do a stream live every Monday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night. Bye! Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.